the commission was directed by Congress to come up with a broadband plan in response in part to one of the concerns you raised, that numbers suggest that in a variety of ways we're trailing other parts of the world in broadband adoption. And it's fairly clear, there's a lot of science behind it, that broadband networks, cable, telephone, wireless, contribute substantially to economic growth and productivity and jobs, good jobs. That's a good word these days. So the Congress says, FCC, give us a plan. The FCC issued a notice, and I understand they got about 500 different responses on Monday, and to about 1,000 questions they asked. And they have some folks there who are going to take a look at it, and they'll have another round of comments probably in about a month, and then they'll come up with a plan. Who knows what's going to be in it?
And there's pressure on the FCC coming from the Obama administration to begin regulating broadband as if it were telephone service, and also they are pushing for this net neutrality idea. Couldn't those things combine to really stifle the growth and innovation in the broadband industry?
You must have been reading some of the papers I've been writing recently. I was just in the Midwest yesterday giving a speech on that very notion. I believe you're absolutely right. My personal view, and shared by a lot of other people, is that a broadband policy that does not foster private sector investment is no broadband policy at all. And the science is very clear that government action can have a dampening or a throttling effect on private investment. And we're talking about big bucks here. Depending on the part of the country, you may be talking someplace between $1,000 to $2,000 a household to bring fiber out there. And Wall Street, I spent 5 years on Wall Street, I can tell you the analysts there are very wary of this. They're not sure that this is such a hot investment. They're looking very, very closely. And any overtures, I think, by the administration or the sort of the re-regulators at the FCC or on the Hill to go back to what we had 20 years ago when sort of basic telephone service was pervasively regulated is not going to be well received, and it's going to dry up private sector capital.
Now, this is all being done as we transition from analog to digital television, making a lot more spectrum available. So does that help matters any? I mean, just having more spectrum, and then there's this whole issue of this private-public partnership for first responders that would be also shared by the public. You know, could there possibly be a free broadband access in the future?
There are several questions there. First of all, the digital television transition and the broadband inquiry are related, but they're really two separate things. Congress decided several years ago that we ought to have high-definition television. We ought to have digital television. And so basically what they're doing is they're moving sort of channels adjacent from one channel to another, and they have freed up the current analog channels, which is what you're watching when you watch with rabbit ears or antenna. They've already freed up that spectrum, and then they're using some other spectrum. So your question about where's that going to go, that spectrum has already been auctioned. The spectrum that is made free, made available by the digital transition, has already been sold.
Except for the D block.
Except for the D block. But the major part of it has already been sold, and it will be used for broadband services. Now, the D block, as you point out, it's another sort of chunk of spectrum, and there's a real issue about A, who's going to get it, and B, how it's going to be assigned. And there are folks who want it for first responders, local police, firemen, et cetera, emergency workers on the one hand, and they would like to have it, and they would like to make, there are some proposals that suggest that half of it would be used for those purposes, and then the other half would be used to provide quote-unquote free broadband services. It remains to be seen how the FCC is going to decide that. My guess is that they will realize that there is no such thing as a free launch. There's very high opportunity cost to giving that spectrum away, and that selling it will bring a lot of money to the government, and I suspect they'll probably decide to sell it.
We're talking to Dr. Larry Darby with the American Consumer Institute and also president and founder of Darby Associates. Well, is there maybe a third or a middle ground here? You mentioned earlier the $5,000 cost of running a fiber out to, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle's farm out there. but maybe places like that that are rural could get some get their broadband by wireless means and then save the fiber for the dense areas.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a very perceptive question, and that's one of the things that the FCC is trying to deal with. You know,
but who says it has to be free, I guess?
But it doesn't have to be free. For sure, wireless is going to play a very, very, very significant role in this broadband rollout for the very reason you mentioned. I mean, you don't have to wire up every home with a ditch and fiber cable. You can simply put a tower up and generate to a fairly wide radius, and that's much, much cheaper. The downside to that is that these broadband services, I mean, I don't know what you use, but you know, people are coming to use broadband radio services and wireless services to download television programs, and those are really bandwidth hungry. Those are bandwidth hoggish applications, and it's going to take a lot of bandwidth for Aunt Minnie to be able to sit, you know, out in a rural area someplace, or her nephew or whomever, you know, to download high definition television signals, which is, you know, what a lot of people are currently doing in the cities.